Economics is the study of human choice in the world we live. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. By investigating faith in economics, we can learn how they lead to human flourishing. This is the Faith in Economics Podcast, a presentation of the Gortney Institute at Ottawa University.
Welcome to our show today. I'm Kevin Ugarteche, producer and graduate assistant for the Gortney Institute. Dr. Ross McCullough, the founder of the Gortney Institute and Wayne Angel Chair of Economics. Dr. Justin Clark, the Menard Family Professor of Philosophy and Ethics. And finally, Dr. Peter Jacobson, the Gortney Professor of Economic Education and Research.
All right. Well, it's, I guess, with a little bit of heavy heart go over Jim Gortney's life as he passed away here recently, the first week of January. So we named the Gortney Institute after him with his long legacy. So we want to kind of pay a tribute and celebrate the things in his life of why we chose to name the Institute after him and continue the great things he's done with economic education over the years in our own way here with what we do with the Institute. So Jim was a 1962 graduate of Ottawa University, did his economics degree here. And he also met a very special person who happened to be the Ottawa University nurse at the time. So Amy and him had their first date when he was a senior. And it's amazing. They ended up getting married by August. I think their first date was in December of 61 and married August of 62. And so Amy would say, when you know it's right, it's right. And so she didn't mess around. And he's an economist, so we probably expect efficiency from him. But they married and went off to graduate school. And then he ended up having a long career at Florida State University. So at Ottawa, he started off in physics and ended up taking a class from Wayne Angel and got turned on to economics. And he found it easy. And so he thought that was the way to go. If it's something he enjoys and it came easy to him and he did pretty well, we call that a comparative advantage. And so he took off from there. And so Jim and Amy were an amazing couple. Jim ended up losing his sight in his career in the late 90s. And so for probably the majority of his career, I guess I didn't add up all the years, he was blind and Amy was supportive in getting him to different functions and economic events and traveling the world and just a number of things. So truly an amazing couple together. And Peter, do you want to get into some of Jim's accomplishments that he did through the years?
Yeah, so Jim is, to put it pretty simply, a relatively famous economist amongst economists. And so, and not that he isn't otherwise, but if you talk to a room full of economists and you mention Jim, a decent chunk will know Jim's name. It's hard to measure scholarly output and like the value of things contributed, but a really common way that that's done is with citations. So the thought is if you have a really influential idea, people are going to cite it, going to talk about it. Maybe not even agree with you, but at least it's important enough and scholarly enough that people feel like it's worth talking about. And Jim, over his life, garnered 13,000 citations so far, and it will continue because Jim's work will continue to be cited long past his death. And that's, to put it in perspective, most scholars don't even hit 1,000 citations in economics. It's pretty rare for someone to get that number. So he really is in sort of like that top echelon of, scholarly output receivers. I think the most I've ever heard of, literally the most out of all economists, is something like Coase, maybe like 80,000 or something. Mm-hmm. And that's the most ever. And that 13,000 listeners, that's just what Google can find. There's plenty of other citations of Jim's work that, you know, the computers don't pick up. And so Jim's ideas are very influential, and the one that garners the most attention is what he's most famous for, the Economic Freedom of the World Report of the Fraser Institute. And so Jim, early in his career, was sort of commissioned, not really for money, but, for for maybe Pride to run an index for calculating and measuring economic freedom.
And he was asked by Milton Friedman, nonetheless.
Yep. So Milton Friedman, famous economist, wanted some way to measure and to look at economic freedom. And Jim was sort of tasked with this. Again, not like formally tasked with it, but informally. And Jim took that ball and ran with it. And economic freedom has been measured for the last 30 something years. And he even went back further with some pre-index measurements of past years before that. So we have good data on that. If you're talking at all about different countries, different institutions, how economically free they are, Jim's index is really the index to do it. Now there are others out there. They all have their kind of ups and downs, but I'd say Jim's index is the most famous of all the indexes. And so Jim's work on that, extremely influential. That index will continue, so his legacy lives on with some of his students like Bob Lawson, who we've done a lot of events with the Courtney Institute and talked to several times. Jim's also known for his book, Common Sense Economics. And so I'd say those are the two big pillars of Jim's career. I think the index represents his big scholarly contribution, and Common Sense Economics represents the fact that Jim was a very good way of communicating complicated economic ideas to the layperson. And so if you're listening at home and you're not really an econ person, maybe you listen to us more for Justin or something like that, which is, of course, why all our listeners listen to us. But if you want to know more about economics, I would recommend that you buy Jim's book, Common Sense Economics. It's one of the best intros to econ, both micro and macro. That's kind of what's nice about it. There's a lot of econ intro books, but none of them provide quite the broad overview of a combination of like the underlying logic and the stylized facts about the economy that Jim provides, as well as some good stuff about personal finance and stuff. So, you know, and Jim's done a ton of other things too. There's too much on to talk about on one podcast. Monetary policy is another thing that he's talked about a lot.
Well, and I want to add to that, as you get to know Jim, you learn that the things that drove him to analyze why some countries are poor and some countries are rich is his care and concern for poor, and part of his vocation as a Christian and carrying out his faith was really trying to educate the powerful impact that economic freedom can have. And through measuring it as economists, it gives us a way to look at this country versus another country and see some of the outcomes. And so some of those outcomes are life expectancy, infant mortality rate, and we see better outcomes in countries that are more free. And this really drove him over the years to continue that project, to highlight the things that can contribute to the human condition and to help people flourish. And I think also writing the book Economics is kind of in the same way, is to really get this material out to the masses and not just people who are into numbers, because you do have to be a little bit into numbers for the economic freedom. It certainly is still done in a very simple way, I would say, but you have to be a little bit more in the numbers for that. So the Common Sense Economics book really fills that in. And so one of the missions I've had with our institute is to bring this to developing countries and some of this information to try to start more of a grassroots effort. Peter and Justin don't even know this, but Mark, one of his sons is a missionary and runs a nonprofit in Uganda. And I brought up our coloring book concept to him, and he really liked that. So we might be having a future trip to Africa there to kind of work with him and local villagers in figuring out ways to get this type of content to places that don't see a lot of economic freedom, and knowing the benefits of it can really help if we can get leaders and leadership in their country moving that direction. It can have some big impacts.
I'll have a little bit more to say about one of the things that I really respect about Jim, just as a human being, but maybe in part two. But one of the things that I think I want to make explicit that you guys have both touched on is that Jim is an economist when he, you know, setting up the Economic Freedom Index and the amount of high level economics that Jim did, that's really impressive. But the Common Sense Economics book also is, you know, that's accessible to the layperson. And I actually think in academia, since the pressure is so, there's so much pressure to specialize, and specialization results in publication in these really like specific and hyper specific areas and journals that I think it's really rare for intellectuals. I know it's really rare in philosophy to both be at the kind of forefront in technicalia and at the same time be able to translate those ideas back in a way that the average person can understand. And so this, I think that makes you a really well-rounded, in this case, like economist. And I think that's really rare. I know it's like, there's very few, I think, philosophers who are, you would say like, this is a really, somebody who's at the forefront of philosophy right now. And by the way, they wrote an intro to philosophy textbook. That doesn't happen very often. It happens very rarely. And my sense is that that's the same in economics. And so I just think that that really speaks to the breadth of not just knowledge, but of interests that Jim had. I'm not saying that a lot of economists couldn't do that. I'm just saying like they don't even think it's worth their time a lot of, in a lot of cases. Right. And I think it's really a credit to Jim. He shepherded his work in this way. And if you talk, I mean, all I know about Jim is for, you know, I've met him a few times, but the students that he taught also, everybody sings Jim's praises about how wonderful he was to work with. And so I just wanted to make that explicit about how well-rounded as an academic he was.
Another example I learned just with Jim's mission to bring content to people in different ways is he was a founder of a church in Tallahassee. And one of the things that drove him the most was he wanted to attract young people to the Christian faith, and apparently didn't feel like there was options around. So he started it himself at age 60 with a mission to attract younger people. So it was a little bit more of a contemporary service. And so it was just always there. His son, Mark, gave a wonderful discussion at the talk at the funeral. And at the end of the day, he said, Jim was just always very consistent with everything he did and the people he reached out to. And whether it was with the Freedom Index or the Common Sense, he actually brought the books up to the podium and held them up. And how, you know, to the Freedom Index, to the educated economics, you know, field, and Common Sense to the masses, and then mentioned the other things he did, and then he had the Bible there. And so they said that the kids all had kind of an economics degree by the time, if you were a Gortney kid, you had the equivalent of a degree in economics by the time, and he was always consistent between those two, and his foundation was the Bible, and he had that up there as well. So just an amazing tribute, wonderful funeral. It was recorded, so we're planning to put that up on our Gortney Institute site here. And just a lot of great words, like Justin was saying, everybody you talk to, whether it was graduate students, grandchildren, aunts, friends, family, at his church, him and Amy both mentored new young couples for marriage counseling at the church. It's just, his reach is just unbelievable. So definitely going to miss him, but his legacy will continue on, and he's really impacted so many lives around the world through all of the things he had done. So this looks like a good spot to take our break. When we come back, we've got some a few more stories and things to discuss about Mark, some of the other work that he did. I guess the cliffhanger is he sat down with, in Russia in 2000, before Putin is the Putin we know today, which isn't good. But he had some impact that was positive way back in 2000. So that'll be our cliffhanger. We'll be back in just a bit.
Ottawa University has an exciting new major, PPE, which stands for Philosophy, Politics, and Economics. Each of these fields is interesting in their own right, but they intersect in ways that are important to understand, both individually and for your community. If you find philosophy fascinating but want to make sure that your study of the subject is practical, If you enjoy economic analysis but want to see how economic laws interact with moral principles, if you are interested in politics but want to explore how economic and ethical realities constrain our political choices, you should consider the PPE program at Ottawa University.
This spring, Ottawa University is organizing a PPE League competition for politics, philosophy, and economics. Students in this competition will compete leveraging the ideas of philosophy, politics, and economics in various events. If you're a professor or an advisor of college students and you're interested in your school competing in PPE League this spring, contact Peter, Justin, or Russ today.
By 2030, the Gortney Institute will be known for its alumni, supporters, and participants who incorporate economic understanding with their faith in their careers, vocations, communities, and personal lives. We have some great programming going on for high school students. We have an online microeconomics class. Yes, you can earn college credit for $200 by taking an online class. It's affordable, flexible, layered with support. Our new online micro is optimized for you. If you'd like to consider some events for your high school students or that class, please contact Justin, Peter, or Russ today. All right, so we're back, and let me expand on the cliffhanger here. So Dr. Gortney served on the Joint Economic Committee of Congress back when this was kind of in the Wayne Angel days that they had some connections. And so he got invited in 2000 to Russia. And Russia at that time had been struggling, you know, command economy, you know, the wall fell in 1991. So they're still trying to put their country back together. And of course, are flawed with many communist type policies, including a top tax rate of 80%. And so as Jim told it, he sat down for a lunch with not more than five of them at the table, which included Vladimir Putin, who at that time was looking to be more market friendly and see his country try to develop out of this communist stagnation that they had. And so Jim's recommendation was a little lecture on lowering the tax rate, because there's a lot of money at that level that's not being rightfully claimed for taxes is one element of it. And then also encouraging people to get to go to work. So he advised a 13% flat rate, and the economy boomed. But it didn't take too long for Mr. Putin's authoritarian ways to come back, and they thereafter kind of started to stagnate in the 2000s after having a little bit of a boom from Jim's recommendation. So that was kind of an interesting thing from an international standpoint. He also did work in Poland and some other places, of course, serving on the Joint Economic Committee, had input to a lot of interactions that the United States had with other countries. So that was kind of the Russia bit. Justin, did you want to go next, or Peter, where were we at with this?
So I'll say something about Jim that I found really deeply admirable was, I think I'd met Jim once before. And actually the first time I met Jim, I was late to a Zoom session. And one of the things I really pride myself on in meetings, and this comes from a background in doing business to business sales, is really being good in meetings, making people who are speaking think that they are being listened to. So this involves a lot of eye contact and nodding. And I showed up late to the Zoom meeting, and I made sure that I was looking not at my computer screen, but the camera on my computer when Jim was talking, so that he would know that I was looking him in the eye. It wasn't until after the meeting that I found out that he was blind and couldn't see it. So I felt like I was putting on the show the whole time. I think that was my first interaction with Jim, but I think the first time I actually got to sit down with him, it was with him and Amy, and Russ was there. I went to dinner in Las Vegas for some conference that we went to, and Jim and Amy were talking about their time at Ottawa University. And Amy was saying how she had a teacher who was kind of a proto-militant atheist kind of guy. And she was saying that he was going through the history of miracles in the Bible, and he had a naturalistic explanation for all of them, like the, you know, and Amy said she got in trouble in the class, and the instructor specifically told her not to ask any more questions. Yeah. And it was because after he had come up with a naturalistic explanation for the parting of the sea and the stopping of the sun or whatever, she raised her hand and said, you know, Mr. So-and-so, don't you just believe in any plain old miracles? And he said, no, and that she wasn't allowed to ask any more questions either. And I got a laugh at the table. But then kind of apropos of just us laughing at that, Jim said, you know, I've often thought about that guy, and I really think that it must have been difficult for him to teach at the institution he was at. So actually, I feel a lot of sympathy for him because I think he must have been in a difficult position. And I just thought that, yeah, you know, that guy wasn't at the table. There was nothing for Jim to gain.
Probably not even alive by all, you know, guesses.
Probably what?
Probably not even alive by all reasonable guesses. A professor. If he was a professor when Jim and Amy were students, then.
Yeah, there was, I mean, there's nothing for Jim to gain by like taking this guy's perspective and pointing out like that he might have had a difficult time too.
Right.
And I just thought that it was really humanizing that Jim did that. Like when to do that when it serves no benefit to you and just to point out, oh, well, this is actually a human being too. And like, let's look at their perspective rather than just laugh. And it wasn't like he was like chiding us for it either. He was just saying, oh, you know, I remember thinking like, and I still think that that must have been a difficult position for that person to be in. And I thought that was really humanizing. And I really respected Jim for that, even though it was just a throwaway line. He had nothing to gain by it, and you know, especially to the audience that he told it to, you know.
Yeah. So a reflection of the real Jim there.
Yeah, I just thought that was really interesting, and I thought that was something that you know, even, you know, I thought it was a, you know, a really Christian thing to do, and that it was something to aspire to, is to kind of be the kind of person who's who says like, all right, well, let's look at it from somebody else's perspective as well.
Yeah, I think everybody who met Jim, as was mentioned earlier, especially with reference to his students, had great things to say. I guess like he would frequently invite especially international students over to his home for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, because oftentimes international students in the U.S., it's difficult to deal with the immigration stuff and all that to get home and come back during holidays. So a lot of times they just stay, but they don't have anywhere to go. So it's either hang out by yourself or, you know, get invited somewhere. And so Jim would be that person for students, is my understanding from what Rosie, who was here and did the podcast with us a couple months ago, from what Rosie said, that was a frequent occurrence. And she would do that, I think, with grad students too. Or he would do that with grad students too. And she kind of is trying to uphold that tradition in his name. And so, yeah, I think the Jim's faith is something that's like not often talked in the circles that I run in, or me and Russ run in, with respect to economics, because people do focus on like those big, you know, career contributions in economics so much. And Justin was absolutely right earlier when he said, you don't get a whole lot of credit in economics for doing other things other than the high level research. You just don't. I won't mention names, but famously, like, a lot of Nobel Prize winning economists ended up being like really bad fathers and really bad husbands, for example. And like, it's something that even their like biggest fans in economics will admit to, because it's so obviously true based on everything that's known about their personal lives. And that's not something that's true of Jim. I've never heard anybody have anything to bad to say about Jim. And Jim's kind of evidence that that doesn't have to be true. Like, you can be a great person who contributes a lot to your field, but also be someone to aspire to in terms of like moral character and what you do with your life. And that's nice to see, because it is rare. And in I think academia in general, and I think this is true in philosophy too, I know it's true in economics, there is like this incentive system for you to sort of like throw everything else away and like narrowly focus on being a researcher. You know, students, forget that, you know, forget teaching, that doesn't matter. You know, your personal life, well, you should love your research. Who cares what else you have in your personal life? You should love the research more. Like the field is kind of understandably set up in a way that selects for like pure career focus. Like you eat, sleep, and breathe academia. And that's just not what Jim's life reflected. Despite his success, he was not 24/7 working on research. He had a great family, you know, and credit to Amy. I think Amy, especially with the blindness, helped him like coordinate a lot of things and get things together in his life so that he could accomplish a lot. But great kids from all of what I can tell. I think a person's children is probably a good measure of like what a good family man he was. And so, yeah, just all around, I think you look at any area of Jim's life and what you see as success. And that's it's good to see in a time where like a lot of times, like our heroes are torn down after they die, where like you learn something about them. It's like, oh, well, while he was living, we didn't know X, Y, or Z. And then we learn it, sort of like the Bill Cosby thing that has happened over the years. And so it's good to, even though Bill Cosby's not dead, it's good to see that there are exceptions to that rule.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and at the funeral, I can't remember who was saying this at the time, but they said, well, the show of hands, who's had Thanksgiving dinner over at the Gortney's? At least half the room, well over half the room, raised their hand of people that were in attendance. Of course, a lot of family and friends, but the graduate students and other people sitting around me raised their hand to that. So really amazing. Well, I want to tell a little story about the first time I met Jim. He came to Ottawa after then President Kevin Eichner said, do you know who Jim Gortney is? I'm like, no. And he said, you need to meet Jim Gortney. So we had this event on, he was going to talk about economic freedom and asked me to run the PowerPoint presentation for him. And so at that point, I had learned he was blind. And I'm like, okay, this should be interesting. I don't know. I just kind of kept my mouth shut. I didn't really even ask ahead of time how this was going to work. And so, you know, during the presentation, Jim would just say, Russ, next slide, please. And then he'd say something like, is this the slide that shows the GDP of Poland at $14,560? And I'm like, yes, Dr. Gortney, this is it. And then he would go on to describe other numbers that were on the slide and what they're showing and why they were important. And it was really one of the most amazing presentations I ever seen. And he would always be cracking jokes about being blind and not too bad for a blind man, huh? And stuff like that. So he was always there, you know, wanting to make you comfortable with it. And when I was talking to Bob Lawson too, he's like, it's just amazing how he never let his blindness get in the way or be something that he'd complain about. He just dealt the hand, or he just played the hand that was dealt to him, and really, it was in an amazing way. So, all right, well, other things to wrap up here. I think we've hit pretty good, but.
Maybe I'll just say that Jim was, the Economic Freedom Index is kind of its own institution. And so Jim not only started an institution, but then had another institution named after him who started an institution. So as Peter mentioned, those citations aren't going away, and that'll continue to grow.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be cited for a long time, including some of the work that my students will do here at Ottawa University when they get to their capstone and they have to do some analysis. It's a great resource to see the insights and impact that it's had around the world. All right. Well, God rest Jim's soul. Can't wait to see you, and more importantly, Jim, for you to see me someday in heaven. And what a wonderful ceremony to go to a funeral where he had such a strong conviction in his belief in Jesus Christ, and as well as Amy, and knew exactly where they were going. And it was quite a witness opportunity. I talked to many of the people who attended that would say the same thing, and how much Jim impacted their life in many ways. So this has been a production of the Gortney Institute here at Ottawa University. I'd like to thank you all for listening. 5-star rating helps other people find us. Please forward this along to friends and family, especially Those that knew Jim or knew of Jim might find this episode especially appealing. Other than that, be fruitful and multiply. Thanks.